Invite you to turn to the book of Colossians. We'll be reading verses 1 to 23, as well as keep a spot at Philippians 4, where we'll read a couple verses from there. I'm thankful for that golden gate of prayer. And I thank you. We thank you for continuing to remember us and your support. I am on dialysis at this point. This past week, I started regressing to the point, towards the point of where I was before I went in the hospital. So we sent out some specific prayer requests and increased my dialysis in an effort to keep me stable and to keep me out of the hospital, and the Lord has answered again. And so we praise him for that this morning, and our desire would be that you continue to pray that direction and continue to remember us in your prayers, because the situation we continue to face decisions and a changing situation. So we would appreciate that. Beginning at Colossians 1. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to take a seat if it's okay. My head is pounding. Would you mind?
Okay, the scriptures again are Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 23. And then Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learned of Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were enemies alienated and enemies that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am also made a minister. And now turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. With these thoughts in our mind, let's kneel for prayer.
I share with you the thought that many times as I sit and listen to the words of the hymns, I've heard many of the song leaders refer their sermons in song, and how touching and how meaningful they are. And sometimes, and Brother Duane, by the way, does this occasionally, will share with us a song like a gospel song or a praise song or something that is really meaningful to him, the words of that song. And sometimes I'll hear another song that speaks to me and it stirs my thoughts. And one song that has become a favorite of mine, and I have it at home on a CD and listen to it occasionally, is entitled Peace. I won't tell you the group that sings it because I think their lifestyle maybe leaves a little bit to be desired. But I'm going to use the words of the three verses of that song as a beginning of the outlay of this morning's message. Listen closely as the words "their eyes cried" are mentioned occasionally. I heard about these kids walking on a train track, 40 tons of steel bearing down on them, and they just turned their backs. Channel 5 asked the one who survived, "Son, why did you do such a thing?" No reply, but his eyes cried, "Peace. I just need some peace. If I have to, I'll do anything. Don't need your love or your sympathy, but I cannot go on living without peace." That's speaking of a suicide pact. You know, that aspect of tragedy touched a family or so of this congregation several years ago. I'm not sure if it was one of them that found or it occurred on their land, a young couple that was part of a suicide pact from one of the schools in the Hanover area. More than just this couple. But this couple had gassed themselves in their car. And they committed suicide. And it was a tragedy that really touched very close to home in some, a few, of this congregation. You know, we might be thinking, as a congregation, can that happen here? You know, we're rooted and grounded, and the peace of the Lord's in our hearts, and we have the Bible, and we study it, and we have good preaching, and so on. But what about a neighboring congregation, a sister congregation of ours, who might have been asking the same question about the gay lifestyle issue, and it hit them square in the face? Even one of their deacons, no longer with his family. So we don't know, we just don't know what's going on around us. 40 tons of steel bearing down on me, that's a locomotive. And they just turned their back because they had made a pact with themselves that they're going to commit suicide. You know, as I think about that, we need to be aware of everything that's going around us. It touches many that are still living in a very hurtful way. I know, and some of you know, families that suicide has occurred in their families, and that's what I've been told. That it hurts. It hurts for a long time. It's a very self-centered, selfish act. And I'll tell you right now, you have to be on your guard constantly, especially if you struggle with depression. What goes through your mind? Just think of the physical pain and emotional distress that can be almost unbearable. You talk about unbearable physical pain. Some of you, and I myself, have had kidney stones, and that's the worst pain I've ever experienced. But this pain, this deep-seated pain of a loved one being that much in despair, that they would even think of taking an act of God in their own hands. It is God and God alone who needs to decide when we take our last breath. At this time, I'd like to share with you the message of the morning is entitled, Peace Which Passeth Understanding. And it's taken from one of my favorite scriptures in Philippians. Be careful for nothing. Some of the translations, and this is kind of, I can't find a word for it, because some of the translations say don't worry about anything, or don't be anxious about anything. And sometimes that's tough, almost impossible. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the secret. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Peace which passeth all understanding. That's what this group of young boy, this young one boy that survived, his eyes cried out to the one that asked him, son, why'd you do such a horrible thing? Peace, I just want some peace. The second verse goes, I know a man who sits and stares at his kitchen cabinet door. He hides a whiskey bottle he hasn't touched since, well, this is day 4. He told his wife this time he would try as she was just about to leave. No reply, but her eyes cried, "Peace, I just need some peace. If I have to, I'll do anything. Don't need your love or your sympathy, but I cannot go on living without peace." It really troubles me. It really troubles me and hurts me when I hear or see people make light and comment or joke about drunkenness. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 to 35. Many of you are familiar with this. This is concerning drunkenness. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I shall seek it again. They have stricken me as if I was sick. Carol used to tell me that her daddy would laugh at the guys at work on a Monday morning when they were talking about their carousing over the weekend, and he'd just shake his head and laugh at them and say, "You guys spend more money getting sick than I do trying to get well." How close to home is the situation I'm going to share with you? A personal account. Listen closely. There was a couple that started coming to Belvedere. And unbeknown to me, he was a trucker. And we kind of struck up a compatible relationship. Not real close. But we actually invited them the first Sunday if they would want to come home with us for dinner. And they refused. And they came a few more times. And then one Friday night, and I emphasize Friday night, the phone rang. Our accountant was there. I was an owner-operator trucker, self-employed, and tax time when you're self-employed can really become involved. So he was there doing our taxes, and the phone rang. And it was this man's wife. Unbeknown to me, he was an alcoholic. She said, "Brother Jim, do you think you could drive?" They lived about a mile. If I told you where they lived, you'd know right where it is. They lived about a mile from where we lived at that time. Could you go down and try to talk to Don? He's been drinking, and he's the worst I've seen him in a long, long time. So, after the accountant left, I went upstairs and thought I need to do the minister part. I put my suit on, I took my Bible, I looked up some verses that I thought might be appropriate, and I drove down, went to the back door, and I knocked and I knocked and I knocked, and finally Don came to the door. And he was the drunkest I have ever seen a man in my entire life. He could barely stand up, but he did let me in. He had been trying to make himself some fried eggs on the stove, and he had a terrible burn on his arm. It was raw and it looked awful. We went in and he sat on a chair. This was, I'm going to say maybe 10 o'clock, something like that. We sat and I realized the moment I saw him, those scriptures I looked up, they're out the window. Because this man can't make any sense of anything. And we talked and we talked and we talked. I wanted to take him to an emergency room because of that terrible burn, and he wouldn't go. And he was sitting on a chair across from me in the middle of the kitchen, and all of a sudden he stopped talking, and he just fell over, like toppling a piece of wood off the chair, and boom, down on the floor he went. He didn't hurt himself. I helped him get back on his chair. We talked some more, and I finally got him to agree to go along to emergency room. And when we went out and I helped him in the car, I sat on my side, and I am so glad. I reached across in front of him and locked the door. Because as we were going out Richland Avenue toward the York Hospital emergency, he sat up. And he looked around and he swore and he said, "Where are we going?" I said, "Don, you agreed to go with me to emergency room." And he swore again and he said, "Let me out of this car." And he grabbed the door handle. And he'd have fell right out on Richland Avenue. We finally got to the emergency room and they took him in and they took care. And I stayed there for quite a while and I was getting sleepy and very tired. And finally, they said, you go ahead, you go home and get some rest. We'll take care of him. I thought my night was over. About 7 o'clock, I got awakened out of a sound sleep by the telephone. And it was the nurse from emergency, and she said, "Pastor Hoover, can you come in and get done? We're not allowed to keep someone in the condition that he's in. We've treated his arm." I said, "I don't know what to do with him." I said, "I have tried to get him in a detox units in York. No beds available. I tried to get him in detox units in Harrisburg. No beds available. I tried to get him in a detox unit in Lancaster. No beds available." Why? Friday night. Payday. Party time. And finally she said, "You call me back in about a half an hour." And I did. She said, "There's now a bed available in Progress House in the city of York. You get him there." And I did. And they worked with him for 10 or 14 days. And then they released him. And it didn't help. Because he was placing... She had had enough. And she said, I'm out of there. She said, when we lived in another state, in another city, he always had a loaded revolver. She said, he had a loaded rifle under the sofa the night I was there. I thought to myself, wow, thanks a lot. She said, the house we lived in this other town, he was in a bad condition one night. He grabbed a revolver. She said, I headed for the upstairs. That stairway had a landing. When I turned the corner, he fired. And there was a shot. There was a bullet in the wall of that house to the day they moved. I'm sharing this to let you know, as those special prayer requests, what's going on out there. Now, the tragedy is, I hear occasionally these things creeping into the church. These things ought not to be. And I tell you that because these brethren, more than once, I'm sure, have found themselves in the same shoes that I was in that night. It may not have been alcohol. I don't know what it is. But where does the world look when there's no hope anymore? Don't need your love or your sympathy. I just want peace. Where are they going to get it? They know. They know. They're going to get it most likely from the church. And what I'm telling you is, are you aware? And am I aware that every morning, every Lord's Day morning, when Ray announces two names that will be on call this week, are you aware and am I aware of just what they might get themselves into in that coming week? Well, getting back to Don, his wife had had enough. He didn't really get the help he wanted because he was hinging everything on her coming back. If she'll just come back, I'll try and I'll stop drinking. And her eyes cried, "Brother Hoover, I've had enough. I've had enough." Do we really understand all that might be involved when we get involved? Are we really aware of what is going on out there? Again, reading in concluding these thoughts from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verses 17 to 20. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsing shall clothe a man with rags." I've lost, it wasn't too long after that, I lost contact with that family. And I don't know if Don's a living today or not. The third verse that touched my heart was, "I have a friend who's looking for God. A few good self-help books is as far as she's gotten." That's the tragedy of some of the TV preaching today. It's oriented towards self-help. You're a good person. You can overcome. "A few good self-help books is as far as she's gotten. Say a prayer tonight for that desperate child. Say a prayer tonight for that man and his wife. Say a prayer for the hurting, searching for the one thing we all need. If you don't know what to say, look up to heaven's face and pray for peace." Heaven's face. That's Jesus. Look up to heaven's face and pray for peace. Don't look to self-help books. Look to the Word of God. Let's look for a few moments at what was read this morning in 1 Colossians 1 through 23. Paul says in verse 4, Colossians 1, to the church of Colossae, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the self-help books, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras." Moving on, I'll look at begin reading at verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now take notice. Look, I overlooked verse 8. "Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." That is the concluding thoughts of 1 through 8. Now in the succeeding verses, until we get up to verse 17, you'll take notice each verse ends in a colon or a semicolon. It's a continuous active thought. Listen, keep that in mind. The continuous active thought of what's available for you and me and them. Listen now. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Pausing, our brother in Sunday school, and most likely some of you because of this weekend, expressed extreme gratefulness for our Christian heritage. That's what Paul's saying here. Who, verse 13, hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Their eyes cried. They're living in darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, how's that possible? I lay before you the thought that all things are possible with God because of what it says next concerning Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. You see now and understand more clearly when he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thy hand, and right before their very eyes it became whole. He created the first hand that ever was. That's what that's saying. So why couldn't he make a withered hand whole again? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's adoring him. He's set high and above everything. He is preeminent. That's what worship is. If you have come to this place this morning without adoration in your heart for Jesus Christ, you're missing the worship experience. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And here's one of the theme verses for this message, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, period. Period. He made it. He holds it all together. And in him is peace, which passes all understanding. I also chose Philippians 4, 6, and 7 as theme verses because of a personal experience. When anxiety overwhelms you, it can at times be unbelievable. And when I knew I was going to have major surgery, I'd never experienced anything like that before. I pretty well was very healthy, but I knew how serious it was going to be. The first surgery, they actually had to put me on the heart and lung machine to keep me alive. And I was laying in bed one night, and I was getting anxious. And I use a lot of times the Living Bible for my reading. And I knew in my subconscious there was a verse somewhere that started out with the words, "Don't worry about anything." And at that moment, at that time, there was no humor involved. No thought of, wow, that's hard to believe. At that time, it was serious. I got up. I took my Strong's Concordance. I looked it up, and I found it to be Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I purposed in my heart right there at that we are the morning to memorize that those two verses. And I did. And I went back and laid my head upon my pillow and fell asleep. There's hope. There is hope. And sometimes, I know sometimes we question when some of these serious medical things occur, but God is in control. And the peace is there. The peace is available. Don't matter what we think or what we want. If we have that peace, it will get us through. There's another song that has to do with what's going on around us. My concluding thoughts start with the words of that song. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. Only on they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. We are called to be His light. Here's the work that's out there. To a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. When will we realize that people need the Lord? For people, we must give our lives. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. John 14:27, the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And for a final closing thought, turn with me. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. I have yet to memorize 8, but I'm going to do it because 6 and 7 promise us unbelievable hope and peace. And 8, look at 8. I'm going to read 6 and 7 and then 8 because 8 tells you how to do it. The thought life, that's where it all begins. Listen to this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pause a minute with me and think of the two messages Brother Ken Nell shared with us concerning the heart. And all the times that the Bible says, as the heart thinketh and so on, And they found out through heart transplants and so forth that the Bible and the Word of God all along knew what it was talking about, because there's more thought process goes with the heart. It's not all just in the mind. If you don't believe me, get those two very interesting and challenging CDs and listen to them messages. Now, the thought life, look at verse 8. Here's how you do it. Finally, no ifs, ands, or buts. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Let's kneel for closing prayer.